both receive a 59% favorable rating.
Fox polling director Dana Blanton, that library at Southern Methodist University in Dallas, Texas. All the first ladies will be there too. Fox News, we report, you decide.
And now with your latest up-to-date forecast, here's Steve Pelletieri's Eye on Weather, exclusively on WVOX Worldwide.
Here's our weather forecast for you Thursday. Cool front moved through during the overnight. It's going to bring us a little bit of patchy cloud cover to start, but then sunny skies today. Highs will range into the lower 60s. Northwest winds at 10 to 15, gusting to 25. It'll be mostly clear tonight. Our overnight lows will settle back to between 40 and 45. Sunny weather for Friday. Friday's highs into the middle 60s. It'll be clear weather at night in the lower 40s. Outlook for Saturday and Sunday, both days are featuring sunshine, upper 60s to near 70 each day. I'm meteorologist Steve Pelletieri for WVOX Worldwide, WVIP HD.
From the historic city of New Rochelle, home of the Davis School, Congregation Anshei Shalom, Dr. David Brindell, and the Soundshore Medical Center of Westchester, the great and growing hospital for you and yours.
Thank you for joining us on 1460 WVOX, America's great community radio station where many different voices are heard in the land. Opinions expressed on our community and open line programs are not necessarily those of the station, its management, or sponsors. As always, we're privileged to amplify the voice of the people here on Vox Populi 1460 and worldwide at WVOX.com for you and yours.
This is America's great community radio station.
Really seems to be in touch with the heartbeat of the city.
AM 1460 WVOX.
WVOX.
Good morning and welcome to Environmentally Sound. I am Bob Lovensold, your host for this series on the natural world, education and culture, and chronicler of the demise of Homo sapiens. We bring you guests from diverse disciplines, scientists, activists, authors, educators, entertainers, and public officials. We seek to stimulate your curiosity, intellect, and passion. Today's news from the natural world. Today is Thursday, April 25th, 2013, the 36th day of spring. How time flies. We have gained 3 minutes of daylight since yesterday, 36 since last we met 2 weeks ago. The sun rose at 6:01 this morning. It will set at 7:46 this evening. We will have 13 hours and 45 minutes of daylight today. The moon will rise at 7:55 this evening. It will set at 5:42 tomorrow morning. The full moon is today. Oh! I love it when the full moon comes on a radio day. Debbie doesn't love it. She makes a face at me each time, but that's okay. Next full moon is a month from today in numbers. It's May 25th. Next high tides in New Rochelle at 11:07, which is just about a half hour from now. In Yonkers, 9:48 tonight. Dobbs Ferry, 10:16 this evening. In Tarrytown, it has just turned high at 10:11 a few minutes ago. In Haverstraw, 10:37, it is just turning high right now. So that's about it. You're high all over the area in tides. So this is the time to get your boat out there if you've got a big bottom. I mean, if your boat has a big bottom. Okay, our regular feature, names of American service members who have lost their lives at war. May they live on in all of our hearts. Private First Class Barrett L. Austin, age 20, of Easley, South Carolina, was with the 3rd Infantry Division. He was wounded by a roadside bomb in Wardak Province on April 17th, evacuated to the Regional Medical Center in Landstuhl, Germany, where he died of his wounds 4 days later, this past Sunday, April 21st. I wish I could say it was a good period for American service members, but I really can't. Although there was only one recorded death over the last 2 weeks, I mean, that's a lot better than what we've had in the past. Still, PFC Austin's death breaks our hearts as Americans just a little bit more than it's already been broken. He was alive when we last broadcast 2 weeks ago. Each death is a great loss to his family and to all of us. If you are happy being an American, and I hope you thank all of our service people overseas for risking their lives in order to maintain our lifestyle. I've traveled to many places. Some are great, but some not so great. Each must fight the wolves at the gate in order to maintain our way of life, our relative privilege compared to so many others. We as humans haven't changed so much really since feudal times, after all. Then it was defend your castle using swords. Now it is defend your borders using guns. Now as then, brave men put their lives at risk in our behalf, and now increasingly, women also put their lives at risk. I look forward to the day when the conflict in Afghanistan comes to an end and there are no more deaths to report. Time for the Culture Corner. My reviews of plays, movies, opera, ballet, museums, and what have you. Keep in mind that these are my opinions and you have the right to disagree with them because everyone has the right to be wrong. Westchester Broadway Theater has a new production of Guys and Dolls, and actually this production is quite good. The story, of course, is familiar to theatergoers. Gamblers try to outfox cops. Evangelists try to save sinners. Gambler and evangelist fall in love. Everybody's happy. We all know that. Courtney Glass, as Sister Sarah, was especially fetching. Ms. Glass, who played on Broadway in The Woman in White, as The Woman in White, kept me riveted whenever she was performing. The rest of the cast was quite good as well. Dancing, as always, with Westchester Broadway Theater is great because they stress choreography and they have that beautiful large stage to cavort upon. Kudos to Richard Stafford for his direction and choreography. But please, give these fine actors the proper technical support. I've long criticized the sound system and design. I won't really bother with that. I'm not sure about what system's in place, but that's the way it is. But also, in this case, I was not really happy with the lighting, and Andrew Moser, who was well-established in this area for his lighting for years and years and years, I'm not sure what happened to him this time, almost as if he mailed this production in. I looked up at the ceiling and estimated 100 or so lighting instruments. That's, you know, basically strong light bulbs with different kind of gels and colors on them. But most of them were dark, and the players sometimes stood in the dark. That is just unacceptable. People performing on stage deserve to be seen. They deserve to be supported by good tech. So this was a good production, but not such good tech. Get with it, guys, at the WBT. Of course, it's always true that for about $75 for dinner and play and hassle-free parking, you are getting your money's worth. So I encourage you to go see it and try to overlook these things, which I cannot overlook as an aficionado of the theater and a reviewer. My guest today is Henry May, author, educator, activist. Henry, I have in my notes, has written two books, but he's really written one book and the other one is just languishing. It's a book about his mother, who was a performer, a blues singer, I think, Ernestine May, and hopefully that book will come out one of these days. Walk a While with Me is the name of it. He's active in Mount Vernon, especially as pertains to education. Joining us in our studio in New Rochelle, welcome, Henry May.
Thank you very much.
Good morning. Nice to have you here. Let me just say, generally, my first question to guests is usually they're speaking to me from wherever, is how's the weather where you are? But
yes. Well, we can see what the weather is,
what the weather is, and we can enjoy it together.
It's on the move.
It's a nice spring day. It's kind of warm out there. Yeah. Short sleeve weather, really nice. Okay, so that was the first question, so I don't have to ask you that one. What I'd like to ask you, though, is you say that parents should be more involved in education, and you yourself are involved in education, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So it seems pretty axiomatic. Parents should be more involved, but what about parents who work? Who have too many children, more kids than they can really handle, or they lack confidence that they actually have the knowledge that they can help their children, unless you're talking about they should help out by going to meetings, by being active in the process rather than actually helping their kids. What's your take, Henry?
Well, I can go by my own experience. When my wife first told me, guess what? And I looked at her, and she says, I'm pregnant, and you're going to be a father. I had no idea of what was entailed in that whole process.
Right.
And then you ease into it. There's no school for parenting.
Exactly.
And so you look for models. You look at your neighbors. You look in your family, and you try to emulate the things that you saw that worked when someone was parenting you or mentoring you, and you try to use those techniques and skills with your own children. One thing for sure is it takes two people to raise that family. I'm very active now in the Audubon Society, and one of the reasons that I went to the Audubon Society was that it helped to reinforce my perspective on parenting, because you can see it when you observe birds. You can see it when you observe animals, other living forms, how the partners come together, they have these little babies, and they both work hard to raise them and transmit to them those skills and techniques and things that they will need to survive in that bitter, cruel world that they're going to face. And with birds, you really do see it. And so one of the reasons that I'm involved with the Audubon Society is that it helps me to keep perspective on my work as an advocate for parent involvement.
But do you have interest in birds as birds, or because they're such exemplars of how humans should raise families?
Well, it's they haven't been meddled with. The animals are still operating the way they have for thousands of years, and so you have a clear vision of exactly what's involved in making it from today to tomorrow. And our parents are trying to do the same thing, but under the circumstances that they face in this society, the priority is trying to earn a living, income.
Right. So I, even though I love your analogy with birds, it's different. I mean, our lives are much more complex. Birds... first of all, there's probably a lot more infant mortality. Second of all, if an adult bird dies, the other bird cannot really raise those clutch. You can't protect and hunt at the same time. You need the partners.
That's true.
And there's not.
Well, we see that in families. We see the single head of a household, a mother who's struggling with two or three kids. We see it.
So how is that mother going to be more involved in her children's education? Or does she just leave it up to the system, which has its own flaws?
Yeah. Well, they have to be involved. The children have to receive some kind of support, and they have to receive some support from someone who loves them and cares about them. And it can't be a stranger. It's a good teacher can be a surrogate parent. A neighbor down the street can be a surrogate parent. There are other ways that we can get
this. Okay, we're gonna pick this back up after the break. You're listening to WVOX AM 1460 in New Rochelle, New York. If you're listening in Bacon, Bean Station, or Blackjack, Texas, China, Texas, or Beijing, China, Ding Dong, or Earth, Texas, or any other place on Earth outside of our listening area, you have logged on to www.wvox.com. You are listening live. I am Bob Levinsohn. This is Environmentally Sound. My guest is Henry May, the very intelligent, creative, and charming fellow, and we will be right back.
And national news three times an hour. Here's the latest update from Fox News Radio on WVOX Worldwide.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu. The surviving marathon bombing suspect has stopped speaking to investigators, officials telling Fox News that the premature termination of that interrogation may have national security implications.
The FBI official briefing lawmakers said agents were just 16 hours into their questioning and were stunned to see the judge and attorneys show up and felt that valuable intelligence may have been sacrificed.
Fox's Catherine Herridge, all living U.S. presidents this morning gathering in Dallas.
President Obama and three of the presidents who preceded him will help George W. Bush dedicate his presidential library today. Josh Bolton, who served all 8 years in the Bush administration, finally as chief of staff, says it will help highlight the former president's accomplishments from the war on terror to education and fighting AIDS in Africa.
Fox Radio's Mike Makowicz. President Obama also paying respects to the people of the Texas town of West, where 14 died after a fertilizer factory explosion. Fox News, we report, you decide.
The Metro Golf Show is back on the air for another season as the New York metropolitan area's premier radio show on golf. Hi, I'm Tom Merriam. Join Bill Meth and me every Saturday morning at 8 o'clock here on WVOX 1460 AM and WVOX.com for the Metro Golf Show, where you'll hear everything you need to know about golf, from tips on how and where to play to interviews with all the leading personalities on and off the links. This year we'll have a new feature on the rules of the game, where each week we'll explain another of golf's interesting and necessary rules. We'll also have special coverage leading into the U.S. Men's Open at Marion and the U.S. Women's Open at Sabonic on Long Island. So tune us in before you tee off every Saturday morning from 8 o'clock to 8:30 here on WVOX for the Metro Golf Show.
This is the authentic voice of the people.
It's a community station.
AM 1460, WVOX.
WVOX. My guest today is Professor Franz De Waal, one of the best-known primatologists in the world and probably the world's foremost expert.
That was last week. Are we on the air? Okay. Well, that was last show. I'm sorry. That's a technical glitch. It was built into the computer and never taken out. My guest actually is Henry May. Franz De Waal is probably in Europe by now, and this is Henry's time. So, welcome back, Henry May.
Yes.
Okay. We're talking about education and about parenting, and one of your big issues is that parents should be more involved in the education process. Now, do you mean that as more involved in the actual education of the children, helping with homework, teaching them, or in being involved in the system, a member of PTA or active with the school board?
All of that.
Elaborate a minute.
They need to be involved with, first of all, what is going on in the school. Many parents have not visited the school. They don't have a clue to what a school has to offer. Some schools are doing a tremendous job, and the parents need to know that. Wow, I didn't know they had a music program. I didn't know that my child was involved with music. I saw a parent at the last parent involvement day, and that's an example of what an activist group can do. We have created in Mount Vernon Parent Involvement Day, and that's a day every year when the schools are open for parents to come in. And it's the biggest day when parents are involved with the school system in Mount Vernon. We try to get it to New Rochelle and Yonkers and other places that have. Yeah. But you've got to have a community-based organization that's going to pick it up and say, well, we want to do this. We see this as important. And if you don't have an organization that can devote some time to that, then it won't happen. But in Mount Vernon, every February, second Monday in February, I don't even have to know the date. Second Monday in February is Parent Involvement Day in Mount Vernon. And people are looking at Mount Vernon and saying, wow, they've got parents coming into school, some who have never been in the school, to see what the school system is trying to offer their children. So they get a sense of what the school can do for the child. And if they can go home lifted, they may support the child. When the child comes home and says, Mommy, I have a note from the teacher, they may start to take those notes and look at them and read them and say, okay, we can do this. Yes, you can go on that trip. You know, children are going, it's just a crazy kind of world that we live in, and their priority is, with the economy, everybody's priority is earning a living, making the money so that I can pay the rent and put some food on the table. And by the time the PTA calls for them to come or the school is opened up, they're tired. The focus is not on whatever somebody is going to talk about, test schedules and the rate of number of children who are passing. And the big issue coming up now is the school budget. So, you know, parents have to vote on that. A parent may just vote on the school budget if they knew that their child was deeply engrossed in an art program, quiet as it may be kept in one of the schools. They may say, hey, my child likes that art, or their music is working for them.
So let me ask you, is this an idealistic idea, or is it actually practical? Because I know that even in New Rochelle, which is a highly middle-class area, the school board elections, if it's just a school board election, nobody really bothers to come out. You know, if it's part of something else, maybe they do, but votes are very few. I mean, are people really active in this area, or is the system just kind of on remote control and just goes on and on and on? Are you making strides, is what I want to say.
Well, the our organization tries not to get involved with the politics of who's running for the school board, who you should vote for, right, and whatnot. But we do hold forums because we're involved with the education of the parents. We want the parents to see who wants you to vote for them and what is it that they're saying that is trying to make convince you that you should cast your vote for them so that they can serve you when they get on the school board. So we don't tell them, well, this is the person that we recommend. We kind of do what the League of Women Voters does. You know, they give you a lot of information about the candidates. So they don't tell anybody who to vote for. And I think that's a good position for the Forum on Education to be in.
Okay, let me give you a little, just a quick example. When in my days of tutoring with Mount Vernon, there was one parent of all of the kids I tutored, and it was one-on-one tutoring. We'd give them a couple hours at a time, right? They usually were suspended. This one kid was suspended, and his parent, only one mother, was proactive. She wanted to make sure that I was giving him exactly what he was getting in school to keep him up. And my approach was always take the kid where he is. If he needs some work in reading or math, you know, just give him the basics regardless of what's going on in school. But I don't know if that's the right approach. That's just my approach, because if a kid's having trouble with reading, or if he has an interest in, let's say, French, you know, I would try to address the interest, because that's my philosophy of education. But this mother was very serious, and I respected where she was coming from. She says, I don't want you to be his mentor. I don't want you to be, you know, I want you to make sure he gets what he's supposed to get. So was him being immersed in the system really the best thing for him, or was my approach valuable? How do you answer something like that?
Yeah,
anyway?
That's another example of parenting.
If
you're going to look at the student and see what his needs are, and then address whatever it is that you're trying to teach him based on the needs as you see it, then that's a perfect example of a parent. You know, my first job, I had a principal, and the kids used to tell me, man, you can't touch me. You keep telling me what to do and stuff like that. You're not my father. And that sunk in. And I went to the principal because I'm a new teacher. I'm a neophyte. And I said to the principal, I said, they're telling me that I shouldn't be telling them what to do. And he says, well, Henry, I'm going to get some material for you to take a look at. And, you know, when you get called into the principal's office, everybody knows that you're in trouble. You don't get called into the principal's office unless you're in trouble. But he was calling me into the principal's office to show me the material that he had collected. And in all of this literature that he had, it said parenti and loci. Parenti and loci. In other words, parent on in place. You are the parent
in place.
Okay. And you have to act. Now, this is where the law comes in. You have to act in the best interest of that child as if you were the parent. And if you neglect that responsibility, then you can be brought up on malfeasance and all whatever charges. I don't know. So that has stuck with me all these years, that I am the parent. And the teachers are the parents. So in that perspective, you are the parent, and you're looking at what the child's needs are. And I can't think of a better way to approach education.
Education is complex, and when the family is not the
functioning
tight nucleus, then it's tough.
The term they use is dysfunctional,
right,
and it used to be one that nobody wanted to use, but we have a lot of dysfunctional families.
All right, let me jump to another thing, since we just have a couple of minutes. I wanted to get this in. There's lots of intermarriage today. Our own Denzel, Halle Berry, a lot more actors of color have passed beyond their race. They're being cast in just colorless roles. It doesn't matter. It's not about race. It's just about people, right? Much more intermarriage and interracial dating today. How do you view this change? There's much more to be done, of course, but are you gratified that we have come this far? And I haven't even mentioned Barack Obama. What's the state of race?
Well, that's interesting.
When I see Halle, I don't say there's a black chick. I don't say that. I say, wow.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's true. I saw in the Bronx, I saw a lot of nice-looking Spanish girls, and I said the same thing. Yeah. Wow.
Wow.
You know, and I didn't speak Spanish.
I don't care where they go.
I was in Sweden, and at a couple of jazz clubs over there in Sweden, and some of those women are absolutely gorgeous. They have the right things in the right places, and you can well, it's what you see first, and then the conversation develops after that, and you find out that some of these folks that are listening to jazz that look great, that are white, blue-eyed, blonde-haired, are really lovely people.
And they get the music.
Yeah, and they've got the music.
They get
so,
it.
This business of race and whether or not a person is marrying out of their race and those questions, my brother had that. He was a very, very avid racial person for the black race. And one day his son, who he had paid for to go through college and everything, bright kid, well-built, pumping iron and everything else, went into the banking industry and whatnot, mm-hmm. came home with this white Jewish girl. And my brother flipped out.
Yeah.
He just could not believe that with all of this business of, you know, stay within the race.
But this was back a while, was it not?
Not too long ago.
Well, how do you, we have this.
He overcame it because he found out. See, that's where he found out that the woman was a wonderful person. And then, they had a child.
If your mind is open enough, yes.
Yeah.
But a lot of people are really closed-minded
about
that.
Yeah, well, we continue to learn.
So we have about a minute. Are you gratified with the way racial politics and economics have come along, or not so?
It could be better. That's an easy answer.
Okay.
It could be better.
We got to stop here. Unfortunately,
I don't want to stop.
I don't want to stop either. I don't want to stop either. But
okay,
we have no choice. I'd like to thank Henry May for coming to our studio today. It's a great pleasure to be with you, Henry. Of course, most people are not nearly as productive citizens as Henry, authors and educators. That probably explains why others of his age are out fishing and relaxing while he continues to be an activist. That is what citizenship is all about. Thank you, Henry. Our thought for the week, after eating an entire bull, a mountain lion felt so good he started roaring. He kept it up until a hunter came along and shot him. And the moral is, when you're full of bull, keep your mouth shut. Stay tuned to WVOX. Your quintessential community radio station, the flagship of Whitney Radio, the best small station in the world. Next up is Howard Sterman. He's not in there, so I'm not going to use my joke that I always do. I'll save that for next time. Next up is Howard Sterman. I am Bob Levensold, chronicler of the demise of Homo sapiens. My guest has been Henry May. Thank you very much for listening. Remember to be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a great battle. You are here. It is now. Health and happiness to you all.